Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
We've been in a series we're wrapping up this morning on how to be free with our money, and the reason why most of us are not free with our money is because of everything we just saw right there. And you know, I started off in life wanting to be in marketing because I loved advertising. I thought it was just amazing, just the whole field and the sort of the psychology behind it. But sometimes you see the psychology behind it and it makes you mad. And the thing about it is the credit card companies have done such a great job of putting on a friendly sort of persona. They basically convinced you that they're your buddy, they're your pal, they're right there with you, they're a part of your identity, they're there to help you, to make things convenient for you, when in reality, they're what's enslaving you. They're what's out to get you. They have plans for your life that aren't in your best interest. They do not want you to pay off your credit cards at all. As a matter of fact, they consider somebody who pays off their credit card to be a deadbeat. That's actually what you're referred to. You're referred to as a deadbeat in the credit card industry if you pay off. What they want is you to pay your minimum monthly payments. And their goal is to get you to pay minimum monthly payments for the rest of your life. They don't care if you ever pay it off. They just want you to continue to pay. Because you'll have actually paid off what they've paid out for you within a few years. But you'll continue to pay on that year after year after year for the rest of your life. And so it's a form of bondage. It's a form of slavery. It's what they want to do to you. The scripture thousands of years ago told us this. It says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. That's in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. The borrower is a slave to the lender. Never has that been ever more real to me than in this building process of building a home. Of course, to build the home, I went and got a construction loan, and what I was not accounting for when I went to go build the house is because I know how to build a house. I mean, construction, I've done that all my life. After all, Jesus was a carpenter, and I've just sought to follow him in every way I could. But I know how to build a house, okay? I know building. And the problem is because I am the servant to the lender, my master, the bank, is telling me how to build my house. They tell me what has to be built in what order. Even if I tell them that makes no sense, even if I tell them that that's not the way it should be done, even if I tell them that really I need to get this started now, no. We're only going to give you money to fund this project right now, and that's what you need to do. Yeah, but that makes no sense. It doesn't matter. That's what we can fund you right now. And so month after month after month, I go to my master, please, can you fund the next piece of this project for me? Please. Well, let us think about it. Here's some. Come back to us when you need more. And literally, I've never felt like the slave until now. Because everything else is always love and games and fun when it comes to, you know, buying things with credit. But you literally are made to feel like a servant when you have to go and beg for money every single month just to get what's already been supposedly approved. But the borrower truly is a servant to the lender. The credit card will begin to dictate the terms of your life bit by bit, slowly but surely. Eventually, they take over your life, and they study you. It's no coincidence that when you click on to anything on the internet, you just happen to have ads on the side of your page that are with something that you've referenced, researched, or looked at in the past month. If you look up the word kayak, what do you know? There's a sale on kayaks right now. It's right there. And what's really funny for me, because we do so many things at church, like for like a series, I'll look up something or a graphic image of something. And so my Google registry of what it thinks that I'm interested in is very odd, okay, to say the least. And I'll just have all kind of, or if like a youth event coming up, I'm sure Ryan with your Google page is crazy too. Sometimes for youth events, you'll be looking up something and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this guy's really into McDonald looking hats. Okay, this guy's really into Minions right now. This guy really, and on and on it goes, because they're studying you and studying you. And one of the crazy things is they know, for instance, that you will spend 20% more if you use a credit card than if you use cash. Is it any wonder that they want you to use credit? Is it any wonder that they will offer you, let's go with Kohl's. Kohl's loves to give you, you know, 20% off if you use your Kohl's card. Well, of course, because you'll spend 20% more if you use your Kohl's card. And if you don't pay it off, you will have spent 30, 40, 50% more on your Kohl's card. And so it's there to act like it's your friend, but really they're sucking you in that you will spend more. Grocery store. You'll spend 20% more at the grocery store if you use your credit card than if you use cash. Bankruptcy rates continue to rise throughout our country. The credit card industry sends out 5 billion credit card solicitations every year. And every year, because you know they get a certain small percentage of those back with more credit cards, they up it. And this is an interesting parallel stat. The percentage to which they increase their solicitations. So if they increase their solicitations by 1%, the number of bankruptcies the following year will also increase by 1%. These two numbers have been going in sync for quite a while now. Is it any coincidence? I think so. The average person in America holds how many credit cards? 10. Split the difference. 10 credit cards. Okay, so if you take the total number of credit cards which are issued in America, divide it by the number of people in America, there are 10 credit cards per person. And instantly right now, the problem with that stat is some of you are going, oh, see, I'm at 7. So we're above average, sweetie. This sermon doesn't apply. No. And by the way, when I said credit cards, some of you were thinking, oh, you mean MasterCard Visa? No, I'm talking about your Kohl's card and your Sears card and your Walmart card or wherever other card. There's a Waffle House card? Yeah, I'm trying to make payments on that sausage. I tell you what, pretty soon that bacon's going to be paid off right here. Yeah, a Waffle House card. You ain't redneck until you have a Waffle House card is all I got to say. We complain often, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you're always complaining about what the other side has spent in Congress over the years and what our national debt is at and, oh, our national debt. You know our consumer debt is just as bad as the government's debt? Consumer debt, this is just consumer credit card debt. $2 trillion of consumer credit card debt in America. And we're going to complain about what Bush or Obama or Clinton or you know Trump eventually will do with the national debt. No. What about your own debt? And all of us have a stake in that. And if you, of course, add all the other debts we have, it gets up to about $9 trillion just in what we owe over time. And so it is a real problem, a real issue for where we're at. There's more foreclosures over the past 10 years than there ever were at any time in the Great Depression. And you say, well, how could that be? Well, what happens is that somebody comes and offers you and say, you got all that credit card debt, you know, you're paying 20, 30% on that. What if you just rolled it into a home equity loan at 4, 5, 6, 7%? Wouldn't that be so much better, make so much more sense? Oh, yeah, we'll do that. Well, what ends up happening? Within 2 years, you have the exact same credit card balance you had before you started. 75% of people have the exact same credit card balance 2 years later, but now you've got a higher mortgage payment, don't you? And 2,000 years ago, Solomon writes in the Proverbs, don't be one who shakes in his hands shakes a hand in pledge or puts up surety for debt. We'll talk about surety in a minute. Because if you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be taken from you. And I think that's playing out in a very scary way in our day and time and culture. So why don't we feel the brunt of the foreclosures like they did in the Great Depression? Because the credit card offers keep coming. And you think, well, they're not going to send somebody a credit card offer who's already declared bankruptcy or think, well, of course they would, because you can't declare bankruptcy again. So now you're really, 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 really in debt to them, and you're going to be paying on that. And they also know this. The credit card debt that you rolled into your home mortgage was not the problem. We always think the debt is the problem. That's not the problem. That's the symptom. The problem is your spending. That's why we started in the beginning of the series and talked about your awareness and your greed and your impulse and your buying. And if you don't get that dealt with, you're not going to get anything else dealt with. And so that because they didn't deal with the actual problem, which was the spending and the greed, they just dealt with the symptom. They treated the symptom, and they found themselves right back with the exact same problem because the problem never got dealt with. And they know once you go down that road, oh, you're their ideal customer, somebody who will never, ever, ever pay it off. So what does God say about this? What does God say about it? Debt is not a sin, okay? Debt in general is not a sin. It is nowhere you want to be, but it's not a sin. There is some kind of debts that are considered a sin that you should not have, and we'll get to that in a second. We'll come back to that surety again. But debt in itself is not a sin. It's just nowhere you want to be. Or as David Ramsey said, debt's not a sin. It's just stupid. He just kind of calls it like it is. It's never encouraged in the Bible. It's never a means for God to bless you, and it's always to be an indicator of you're not in a good place. Very similar to anger. Anger is not a sin. But when you're angry, there's a good chance there's sin right around the corner, right? And if there's debt, there's a good chance there may have been some sin involved with that, because greed is actually a sin. We don't really call it a sin. We don't think of it as a sin. There's no, you know, greed anonymous kind of thing, like, yes, my name is Steve and I am greedy. No, we don't have that. If I were to ask you, are you greedy, you would say no, because as soon as I ask you if you're greedy, you instantly think of, yeah, but you know, I gave $5 to a homeless guy last month, and that a greedy person wouldn't do something like that. No, but a greedy person would spend more than they have. Just pause for one moment before we get any further. Well, and I'll get to that in a minute. So, all right. There's so many things in here I want to get to. So Deuteronomy 28 is a good picture of this. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God. Now, this is when the people are wandering around in the wilderness, and God's like, all right, pretty soon y'all are going to have it good, all right? You're going to come into the promised land. You're going to have cities that you did not build. You're going to have wealth like you've never had it before, and it's going to be amazing. But I got to give you these warnings up front. Let me just tell you how it is. He says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, then the Lord will set you high above all the nations on the earth. And all these blessings will come to you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. So here's the blessings. The Lord will open up the heavens in an agricultural society where you need rain in order to make ends meet. I will open up the heavens. The storehouse of his bounty to send rain on your land in season and to bless the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. Isn't that good when you're on the side where you can actually get interest on your money? Isn't it neat when you have money and you can put it in the bank and then the bank gives you money versus when you don't have money and you got to go to the bank and then they charge you money? He's like, that's where you'll be if you just follow what I'm telling you to do, especially in the area of finances. He says, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be on top and never on the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today to the right or left, following other gods and serving them. What are the other gods that we're serving? Stuff, me, moving on. It says, however, if you don't obey the Lord your God and you don't carefully follow all his commands and decrees that I'm giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. The foreigners who reside among you will rise higher and higher, and you will sink lower and lower. They will lend to you, but you will not lend to them. They will be the head, but you will be the tail. So, as you look at your finances, are you the head or are you the tail right now? And if you're whichever one you are, could that be an indicator of whether or not you've been following God's commands and decrees? And now, immediately when you think of it, you think, but I'm a good, moral, upstanding person. That's great. That has nothing to do with your finances right now. There's actually a lot of commands about your finances. One out of every 10 things that Jesus said was about finances. Over half of his parables were about finances. He said more about finances than any other topic besides the kingdom of heaven. As he talked about what life eternity would like be with him. Other than that, majority of what he talked about was finances. Why? Because it's an indicator of where your heart's at, and God wants your heart. And our heart is chasing after so many of the things, we become the tail and not the head. We're out of control. And so we go back to that surety. What is a sin when it comes to debt? Surety. Surety, where you say you're sure you can pay for something. And a lot of that comes out to basically this. Take what you have right now, all your assets, all your debts, and if you were to cash out, okay, if you were to say, you know, I'm done with this living, I'm going to move to a small remote island somewhere in the Caribbean, and I will just go there and live off the land and farm, do whatever I got to do. I said Caribbean farm. You just ride with the illustration, if you will, okay? I'm going to go to a third world country where everybody lives at less than $2 a day, and if I have $3 a day, I can live like a king. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going to cash out with $400. I can live like a king for a couple years. So that's what I'm going to do. Could you cash out right now? In other words, so your house. Typically, if you're in the right position on a house, you could sell your house and pay off your mortgage. Could you sell your stuff and pay off your credit cards? Could you sell your car and pay off your car? And as you look down the line, you begin to see just how much you're upside down on this. And what you basically said is, I could not cash out right now, but I'm sure I can catch up. That's surety. And that's where God says you've entered into the realm of sin when it comes to how you're managing your money. Because you said, I'm sure I could pay for this. The problem is James reminds us over in James chapter 4. Now listen, you who say today we're going to do this and tomorrow we're going to do that, we're going to spend a year here and carry on business there and we're going to make money over there. That's what we do when you're the car dealer. You know, not how much does the car cost, how much can you afford in payments, right? And you look at it, yeah, I could afford that. All right. He says, what is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. In other words, you're not in control of anything. What you ought to say, if it's the Lord will live and do this or that. You got to understand there's some contingencies out there. There's things that can happen that you don't foresee. There's layoffs. There's that weird thing called a sequester where they might just say you're going to work 30% of what you normally do for just a season until we figure our budget out. You realize our government's beyond broke, right? We've already taken everything we can take out of Social Security. We've dipped into every honeypot we possibly have all over the place. Our government's completely broke. At some point, that bubble's going to burst, and we have no idea what that's going to do with our finances. At some point. Relationship changes. You know, you think everything's good now, but then all of a sudden you decide you want to get married, or a kid pops up that you weren't expecting, or relationship ends, and now you've got alimony and child payment supports and all that kind of stuff. That happens, right? I'm not making this stuff up. That's your lives, right? We've been down those roads. Are you about to go through a relationship issue? Okay. We'll work it out. I think, you know, it's that marriage is worth saving, guys, really. Sorry, I don't know what that was all about, but moving on. You could get injured. Your ability to earn what you're earning right now could change in an instant. And some of y'all have been down that road. I always tell people, you know, it could be a car accident or, you know, a lot of us, health-wise, our bodies are ticking time bombs. And you have no idea when all of a sudden, guess what? Your heart's not quite as healthy as you thought it was. And now all of a sudden, you can't do what you've been doing. You have no idea what's around the next corner. But yet you've gone to somebody and say, I'm sure I can pay for that, so I'll go ahead and take it now. You know, back like, I remember when I was a kid, we'd go into Kmart. And back by the bathrooms, there was this like desk. And I didn't know what it was. I remember asking my mom, I said, what's layaway? That's what credit was for our parents back in the day, right? Remember what they used to do? Back then, what you'd say, I really want that bicycle. And they would buy your bicycle in like now for Christmas, right? And they would go in and they'd make a $20 payment on it every single month. And then when they made all the payments and got up to the $80, it would be around Christmas time. And then you'd get this new bike you brought home. That's the way they used to do it. Kmart quit doing layaway many years ago. You just take the bike now. You can just pay us $20 and just pay it off. Only it doesn't take you six payments or four payments of $20. It's now taking you payments of $20 until you're ready to buy a car. Right? Because it just keeps rolling over and over and over. And so when you get to the point of surety, you're outside of where God wants you. So he goes and he says, all right, my son, if you've put up surety for your neighbor, are you shaking hands and a pledge with a stranger? As you've been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, in our day and time, it'd be signing a contract. And how many of us have signed contracts we have no idea what's in them? And then you find out what was in them a little while later. Oh, that interest can spike? I didn't know that. Where did it say that? It was in the print. Wait a minute. If I don't pay off everything by the time that my 12 months interest-free thing ends, you're going to backcharge me all the interest plus service fees? I didn't know that. If you find that you've put yourself in that situation, if you're sitting right now and you realize I'm in surety, I'm in sin with the way that I've handled my debt, he's like, all right, here's what you got to do. Go to the point of exhaustion and give your neighbor no rest. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle in the hand of a hunter, like a bird in the snare of a fowler. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Such encouraging words. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it stores up provisions in the summer and gathers food at harvest. I want to give you a couple principles for what you can do to get out of debt. Now, a lot of these things are what's covered in Financial Peace University. There's a class going on right now. If you're in it, awesome. If you've never taken it, it will be offered again in the fall. I might be teaching it in the fall. We'll have Pastor William is on his way. He'll be here starting this week. I'm excited to have another pastor coming in on staff, and I think he'll be leading one of these next year as well. If you've never taken Financial Peace University, and you're sitting right now with some sense of conviction that you're not where you need to be financially, you need to take Financial Peace University. And if you've taken it before and you're still not where you need to be, you need to take it again and maybe even lead it or facilitate it. Because you need to hear all that information one more time. So moving on. So what can we do? Well, if you notice in this metaphor, he says, free yourself like a gazelle. The image here is there is somebody coming after you to devour you. And by the way, who is it that's coming after you to devour you? It's those sweet credit card companies that are your friend, and they're going to give you a free t-shirt. They're going to give you same as cash. They're going to give you no interest. They're going to give you no payments for a while. If you transfer your credit, your debt from one, we'll give you no interest for a year. On and on and on, right? They're your friend, right? No, they're not. They're there to devour you. Homeland Security puts out something. If you have somebody coming into your place of business to attack and to hurt people, they have a video out, and the theme of it is run, hide, fight. Run, hide, fight. Those are the three things you can do if somebody were to bust into your office place and want to take you guys down. You can either run, you can hide, or you can fight. And when it comes to dealing with this attacker that is your credit debt, those are the three things you need to do. Run. Run. What does run mean? Run from any more debt. When you get the offer, you run. When you're in the store, you run. You quit bringing up more debt. I had an issue in our house where I was hooking up some water lines and went down to cut the main water on, and the water lines weren't turned off. So water started going in places that it shouldn't. And in those moments, there's that panic that sits in. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? You know, you want to get a bucket put under it. You want to get a towel and try to sop it up. But what do you have to do first? Turn it off. You got to turn it off. If you don't turn it off, more is going to be coming in. And you can be looking at your situation, go, well, I don't know what to do. I got this payment over here. I got this payment over here. I got this payment over here. Let's go out to eat. Turn it off. Turn it off. Okay? Turn it off. For some of you, that means cutting it up, canceling it, getting rid of it. Okay? 30% off at Kohl's is not worth 30% off at Kohl's plus $10 Kohl's bucks, and you walking out there going, oh, I'm working the system. That's exactly what you're doing, isn't it? That's exactly what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You outsmarted them. They don't know you. The cheetah only catches the gazelle one out of every 19 times. 18 times you outsmarted Kohl's. They're just still licking their lips. Because they know. They know. They know. All right, change your perspective. Part of this running is changing your perspective towards credit. Only the credit card industry could convince you that something that would lead you into debt is called a credit card. Something that has nothing to do with debt at all, that you're spending your own money. Oh, that's a debit card. You don't want to go into debit with that debit card. No, use the credit card. How jacked up is that? You with me on that? I mean, that's the same as like driving on a parkway and parking on a driveway. It's the same dumb thing. Your credit card is a debt card. And next time you see an offer, okay, you got to look at that. When somebody says, sign up for a new credit card, you get a t-shirt. What they're saying to you is, how would you like to be in $4,000 debt to me? I'll give you a t-shirt if you agree. You see what I'm saying? You've got to look at it differently. Every time you pull out your card, you got to look at this and say, do I want to go further into debt for this? Is this worth being in debt for another year? Because it's just going to add to my payment. Do I really need this right now? All right, so run. Cut off what it is that's causing the problem. Second of all, run, hide. Hide some money in the bank. You need to hide some money in the bank. Some people call this your rainy day fund, $1,000 savings. It needs to be around $1,000 or so because you're going to have problems. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider it ways and be wise. In the summer, it stores up. Why? Because winter's coming. Your car will break down. Somebody will bring a sick kid into church and get your kid all sick. That will happen, I guarantee you. And I think I know who it might be. So, no, I'm just kidding. Y'all know that parent, though. You know that parent. I really wasn't going to come to church to say because Junior was sick, but I'm going to tough it out for Jesus. Please don't. Yeah, please don't. Jesus can wait a week. Your AC is going to go out. Stuff's going to happen, right? It's going to happen. You need to have that. Hide some money in the bank so when this stuff happens, you don't have to turn the faucet back on. Thirdly, fight. Since you found yourself ensnared, free. Free yourself. You've got to fight this. You've got to be ready to fight. This is a cage match. This is not going to be easy. You're not going to make 6 easy payments and get out of this. Notice I talked about how give no sleep to your eyes. That means a second job. That means working overtime. Yes, you need to get out of this. Pause for just one second and ask, and just think for a moment, what would it be like if the only payment you had was your house payment? How much money would that free up every month? Just think about that. How much fun could you have with that? Whether it be fun that you stuff you go out and do, or when you hear of a need, how fun is it to give and to meet a need and know you're a part of something? And how many times have you been there and said, you know, I want to help out for that, but you know you can't? How much fun could you have with just that? And then if you want to make a second goal, get rid of the mortgage payment. What could you do if you didn't have any payments? Just think about that. That'd be crazy. Getting there is not going to be easy. Somebody has manipulated you and moved you to where you're at now, and they got you where they want you, and they do not want to let you go. They do not want you paying this thing off, and it's not going to be easy. So run, hide, fight, and lastly, get some accountability. You know, the ant, it has no commander, no overseer, no ruler. It can do this without any supervision, any guidance. Nobody's going to tell you what to do unless you enter into a situation where somebody can keep you accountable. Most of the Christian life, especially in finances, it's 10% knowledge, 90% behavior, right? Why do people go into foreclosure after moving all their debt over to consolidated loan? Because they didn't change their behavior. The debt wasn't the problem. It was the spending behaviors that was the problem. So as we wrap this up, if you want to get free financially, you need to run, hide, and fight. And it's got to start now, and you got to go to somebody and say, here's what we're doing. We're going to run, we're going to hide, we're going to fight. We're going to switch to cash. We're going to save up a little bit of money right now so we have just enough for a rainy day fund. When something bad happens, we can use that, not have to go back to credit cards and have to go back to that. And we're going to get this paid off. And once we pay off one, we're going to pay off another. Once we pay off those two, we're going to take that money, we're going to pay off the third. We're just going to tack them one by one by one and get them all paid off. My favorite illustration, my favorite story I heard of this was a lady who, what she did, this I would encourage you to do this. Take the payment that you're attacking right now, write it down on a sheet of paper. You know, it could be your car, you know, put Toyota, and put that up on the fridge. Talk about this lady who, she'd walk by, she'd go, I'm coming for you, I'm coming for you. You going down, you going down. And every day she'd walk by that fridge until it went down. When it went down, she'd take that off, she'd put up the next one. You're attacking. You're attacking. Let's pray. Father, greed is such a deceitful thing in our life. And the credit card companies have made billions off of it. And they've spent millions to change our way of thinking, to manipulating us into getting more, having more, doing more, thinking we need more. And none of us are innocent on this. All of us need your grace. But Father, as with so many things in our sin, we cannot pray our way out of our debt. This is going to take work and effort and dedication. Your word says, Father, if we begin to follow you, you will bless the work of our hands. So, Father, may we begin to get all of our finances in order and in line with you, so we can begin to see your blessing. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.